Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, October 12, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 11, the second paragraph, starting with The Wars Which, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Naomi B. Reader of the text will be Kathy Jo P. Lisa B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Eileen M. The reference numbers for Sunday, October 11th, special edition, is 15,523. That's 15523. And for this morning, Monday, October 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 15,526. That's 15526. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Betsy H., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Don. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through the grace of God, not cured. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service today. And that's all. Pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Naomi.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderator is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 11, the second paragraph, starting with the wars which, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to begin reading. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathy Jo P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated, made me sick. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. So, I have a theology degree, and I was very religious at one time. And I thought that I had God all figured out. And I came to these rooms in the 80s, and I guess I came in thinking I had God all figured out. And then I left these rooms, and I would say that the debate was up. And I most days probably did not believe in God, especially in God for me. Believing that there would be a God that could help me, change me, for me. And by the time I arrived back to these rooms, I for sure felt that devil had me. I weighed over 300 pounds. I was miserable. I was in conflict with almost everyone. My relationship with my husband was a disaster. My relationships with my other family members were horrible. Financially, I was struggling. I did not feel good at all. I was miserable. And at the same time, I didn't want to believe that there was a God that could help me. And maybe, eventually, I thought maybe there was a God that could help you, but not me. And one of my favorite lines in the Big Book is from We Agnostics, and the last sentence says, "Draw near to Him, and He will reveal Himself to you." I don't need to figure out God right now. I think what this is saying to me is I had the devil figured out. I had the bad figured out, the hardship, the evil, the loss of hope, the devastation. And that can happen for me every single day now, too. I live in Minneapolis where there is a lot of dispute and struggle and trouble and unrest. But every single day, if I wake up, I can find the God in that day, find the God for me that can transform me and help me live in the solution rather than the problem. I have that choice. It's not just once. And I am so grateful for the friends that show up and show me that there is a God that is universal. And He can be there for us. And you all are that light that shows me that. And I think of so many along the way that continue to show me that. And I have to be that light for others to help people believe that it can happen for them too if we're willing to do these steps and believe that if we draw near to God, He will reveal Himself to us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy Jo P. I will now be opening up the line to take names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Lisa B.
Freya.
Rebecca T.
Lisa Darren B.
Paul.
Freya.
Freya E.
Freya H. Got Lisa
Rebecca.
B and Freya H. Who did I miss?
Darian K.
Darian K. Was there a Rebecca?
Rebecca T.
Kathleen O.
Abby N. Okay, very good. All right, I've got Lisa B., Freya H., Darian K., Rebecca T., Kathleen O., and Abby N. Let's go ahead and start with Lisa. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that's here. I'm so grateful for this meeting. This is, you know, it's an interesting paragraph, and I had to really read it a few times to see how I identify in. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I really do identify in. So his resentment to the religions and the disputes of religions, it was hard for me to believe that there could be a living God, you know, inside of me that cared about me in every detail of my being, that really loved me. I kept reflecting back to my childhood and the messages I saw there. And, you know, my mother had a nervous breakdown and religion really saved her. And I'm so happy that she found it. And I guess in many ways it did become a spiritual experience for her. But, you know, I judged her for years because I saw so many defects of character in her that I didn't like. And, you know, that reminds me of in We Agnostics how it talks about how, you know, we judge others. We judge, you know, we look at the human defects of these people and sometimes use their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. And that's what I did. And, you know, my experiences coming in the program and identifying in with my step one problem, that it's a hopeless condition, a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and that what the solution is, it's a spiritual solution, and that as a result of going through the steps, you know, I uncovered so much gook. My higher power removed so much gook. And within there, underneath all of that, there's like a living, breathing relationship with this higher power. And it's not like anything I thought possible, but it was my perspective of myself that was hurting me. It was my perspective of life and the world around me and the people around me and my unhappiness with myself, my shame of myself, and the unhappiness and the judgment, and all of that was the untreated compulsive overeating that was driving me. And I kept thinking all those feelings that I just listed were the outer conditions around me, that if they were different, I wouldn't feel the way. But it was all inside of me. You know, I am the creator of the reality and the bondage. You know, I had created this jail inside of me, and through the steps of inventory and amends and getting into steps 10 and 11 and 12, I found the freedom, you know, that was just so liberating. So my perspective is so different. And that's what they describe as a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening, you know, a whole new change in our attitude. So I needed to go through the steps in abstinence and clarity and honesty. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. And now we'll have Freya H. share, followed by Darian K. And if you could please tell us the state or country that you're calling from so that those who wish to contact you through the member list may do so. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Freya H. I'm in Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive bulimic. Thank you for the opportunity to share. When I read this paragraph, I am reminded of every time I do a resentment inventory, when I get to the second column, and my attitude is very judgmental, very closed-minded, and I'm looking for what's wrong with the world. And so that's what I hear in this paragraph, is Bill is looking at what's wrong with the world, and it's obvious. You know, like when I look for what's wrong with it, I can absolutely feel totally justified. And I like, you know, the words that stand out are judging. You know, judging from what I had seen, well, it's, you know, I think it's my job to be the judge, and I can justify, I can come up with lots of reasons why I'm right. And I have to say, he makes some really, you know, he makes some good points. There's a, you know, there's absolute truth to what he says. However, it's not the end of the story. And it's a little hard to believe that this is the same man who wrote the chapter We Agnostics, where he is, you know, We Agnostics offers basically it's an argument for why it's more sane to believe than not to believe. And it's just a beautiful example of a turnaround. And when I go through my inventory, I go from this closed-minded, judgmental perspective, and then I'm asked to consider it from a completely different angle. So if I look at this, you know, the religions from a completely different angle, again, We Agnostics, it talks about, you know, overlooking the fact that these religions have brought a lot of good things to a lot of people. You know, they brought strength and purpose, I think. And another really strong message it says in We Agnostics, it says outward appearances are not inward reality at all. So even though it looks like the world is going to hell, I have to trust, or I'm given the option to trust, that that's not actually the reality, that actually God works in a way that doesn't seem to make sense on the outside. And I have to experience it in order to come to believe. So as long as I'm closing my mind and staying in that judgmental place, I'm not going to be able to see God. You know, I'm going to basically, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, God, because I'm not going to be able to access it. But as soon as I'm able to just be open to maybe these people do have something, you know, just that little glimmer, then I'm offered a completely different perspective. And for me, that is how I define my spiritual experience, that I see things from a different perspective. And it's amazing how nothing in the world needs to change, and suddenly the world is a completely different place, and just full of blessings and abundance and joy. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. Darian K., will you share with us, followed by Rebecca T.? Good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater for today. And so this is, yeah, this paragraph's interesting because it's really talking, how it speaks to me is just, you know, why would religion or God be interested in me and my small problems? And to me, the food problem, the fact that I quote unquote couldn't diet or stick to a diet, is just something that seems so minuscule compared to war and peace and, you know, calamity in the world and, you know, starvation and, you know, just the big stuff that goes on, you know, in this world. And so, you know, at first it was kind of odd for me to think that a power of any kind could be, you know, interested in helping me with my food. And, you know, having been in program for a long time now, I just know that there's so much power that is just for me. And, you know, my higher power is just always with me. And, you know, as long as I seek him out every day and then work in harmony with him. That's also the key is, you know, sort of following the path that's laid out in front of me so that I, you know, I've become a believer. And, you know, it is funny because, I mean, I'm of the Jewish religion. And so I really, my religion stopped at 13 for the most part once I got bat mitzvahed. And it just wasn't important to me, you know. And so to have it back in my life being more spiritual than religious for sure, and to just make it my own personal, you know, God of my understanding has just been so helpful. And hindsight's always 20/20. I can look back and I can see how God carried me through so much of my life. Because when you're in program for a while, you go through so many ups and downs, and you know, it's just, you know, it's part of life. So, you know, I know God is with me, and, you know, that's what I have to lean in on today, especially, when life is uncertain and, you know, I just have to, I don't have all the answers. You know, that's where it's important for me to practice these principles in all my affairs. So thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you, Darian K. Rebecca T., will you share with us, followed by Kathleen O., and please let us know what state or country you're calling from. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, guys. Rebecca T. from Port Angeles, Washington. So awesome to be able to be live today. I love this meeting. So what this brought up to me today was I had a different point of view. So when I was looking at this, there were times occasionally that I was like, you know, this chicanery, this whole trickery and, you know, being definitely focused on the problem, you know, the problems in the world, the problem of people. Why are people acting the way that they're acting? How dare there be, you know, arguments? And so I had a lot of opinions and I had a lot of judgments. And, you know, in the beginning, in my childhood, growing up, I was kind of raised to be this philosopher, and I was raised to be the psychiatrist, and I was raised to be the problem solver. So, I had no idea. I actually thought that I was God-centered, and I use the word I with big bold, I thought that God was actually speaking through me and that I was going to be, in a sense, you know, his disciple and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And I took that to, a great high status. In the sense that I figured God was up there, I am down here, and I am his vessel, and so it is for me to go ahead and lead the world to peace and serenity. So although that was definitely, I had good intentions, but unfortunately, the program did teach me that that was, my ego was taking over, because I became very restless and irritable when people, quote, were not acting in God-like ways. Life became unmanageable because I could not manage people's feelings, and I could not tolerate the way humans were acting. You know, I couldn't handle people that created drama, in my opinion, unnecessarily. So it was crazy. So, me being what I thought was God-centered was really me-centered, and I was not giving up control to a higher power. I definitely made myself the higher power, and I did not really consult with him at any time. So there was a lot of self-righteousness there. So grateful that this program kind of turned it around, helped me learn that it's not me, you know, that's running the show. It's not me that, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca T. Kathleen O., will you share now, followed by Abby N. Good morning, Kathleen, and let us know where you're calling from, if you would please.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service this morning, and thank you, everyone, doing service this morning and making this meeting work, because being on this meeting is always a lot better way to start the morning than turning on the news. And I am Kathleen, recovered in California. So the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute has facilitated made me sick. And chicanery comes from a French word meaning to quibble. And it's also defined as the use of trickery to achieve a political, financial, or legal purpose. And this kind of sounds like what we're experiencing today. You know, a few little tweaks here and there, and history does seem to repeat itself. And, you know, it can look sometimes like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. So this line, I honestly doubted whether on balance the religions of mankind had done any good. I was raised in religion, but it never did me any good. I would ask God for things and nothing happened. You know, I thought I was better off tossing a penny into a pond and making a wish. I'd be better off wishing on my birthday when I blow out the birthday candles on my cake. I thought that would work better than religion and God. And the problem was, like Bill, I had a spiritual malady and I needed a spiritual solution. You know, I had to let go of my religious beliefs because they didn't work. And I had to let go of self-will, and I had to develop a relationship with a God of my understanding. And it was suggested when I was struggling with this God thing to use the acronym Good Orderly Direction. And that made things kind of simple for me, because Good Orderly Direction was putting the food down and following the simple program of action. And action was the key word. I had to admit complete defeat so that God could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And in the past and for decades, you know, food is what brought me ease and comfort. So I needed to find something better than my current God, which was food, to get that ease and comfort. Otherwise, I was going to keep going to the food. So finding a God of my understanding, it didn't help me put the food down, but it did help me keep the food down. I mean, I had to take some action and do my part. You know, I needed to practice going to this power greater than me when I needed ease and comfort, when things weren't going well, and continuing to go to God instead of food. It changed my life, because with entire abstinence, then I was able to work these steps and things got so much better. You know, the silver lining of the steps is it rids us of the obsession to addictively eat. And I was able to get freedom from the torment of taking that first bite. So, and I think my time's up, because I timed myself and maybe up. So I'm going to stop there. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Now we'll have Abby N. share, and following Abby, we'll be opening up the lines for more people who would like to share. Good morning, Abby, and if you could tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Abby N. from California. Yeah, I'm so grateful I tuned in this morning. This is such a relevant paragraph to me. I came in for 3 years before Vision and was so convinced that God, that, like, if there is one, it does not work for me. Where it says, the power of God in human affairs seem negligible. This was disproven. That is what it seemed on the surface, but the closer I worked with sponsors and the closer that I, like, the more I did workshops and I saw people who were 500-600 pounds who had totally recovered and shifted and inspired me and recovered from a seemingly hopeless state, really begun to shift my mind, but I couldn't get to where they were and I didn't understand. Like, it talks in the big book about trying to, our intellect got us so far, but we couldn't jump to the shores of faith without his help. And I really tried to intellectualize my way through this program, and I tried with all my might, and it doesn't work because I'm not God. I can't do it. One thing that I heard that really helped was, the only thing you need to know about God is that there is one and it's not me. And, like, this idea is a sufficient start, and I didn't need to believe as my sponsor did. Another thing that my sponsor really helped me with is to treat God as a relationship. You don't trust a person immediately upon meeting them. It's like a developing, you develop that trust over time and as you build the relationship. And to get through step two, I needed to just be open to that there is one, it's not me, and this will develop and I don't need to know. Also, I needed to release my fixed ideas that there isn't a God. One thing that helped me was that the reminder that I can always go back to my fixed ideas, but just for today, can I try to release them if these people that I see on a vision for you and see if my sponsors actually are helping them? And when I do that, there's always this discomfort followed by immense serenity that is not created by me, and I do not intellectualize my way into it. And for me, that is God. Where it says the brotherhood of man is just a grim jest. This is one thing, or for me, it's all, that's a fixed idea and a fixed lens. If I'm willing to look at all of the beauty that has come from the darkest parts of my life, and see how that has brought about the change that really needed to happen, that I would have never been pushed to grow if I wasn't uncomfortable in that way. All of a sudden, I haven't had to change anything about reality, and my perspective completely shifts.
Time.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you so much, Abby N. And now we'll open up the lines for others who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last few days, please give me your first name and initial.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Shelley B.
Shelley B.
Amy N.
Amy N.
Raquel,
yes.
From Israel.
Raquel. And what's your initial, Raquel?
E. Raquel E.
Raquel E?
Yes, from Israel.
Okay. Very good. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Deborah G, Mo H, Shelley B, Amy N, and Raquel E. Good morning, Deborah. And if you could share with us where you're calling from.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning. My name is Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, so much for leading the meeting and all those involved in making this possible. All those behind the scenes, just putting this together. It's just amazing. I love it. And what came to me, the thought was lack of power. And that's what I'm learning and continue to learn, that it's all about power, because I have no power. It's been proven in the past with food for me. I've tried different things, this and that, and and it never works because I don't have the power. So it's about me finding that power, and I find that power through going through those beautiful 12 steps and living that way of life with that power. And I think it's wonderful that everybody has their own understanding or connection or relationship with that power. And I don't have to have the same thing as everybody else, and they don't have to have the same as me. It's whatever works for them. And I just love what works for me. I just love this experience that I have and continue to have the experience. I'm going through the steps again, and we've been saturated in step one. So it'll be interesting about what's going to happen with this power again. You know, the mystery. That's what I love. And I love to be able to not just have the awareness of this power, but to actually experience it. Experience it in my body, because I know that my disease is about the body stuff. And when I can have that experience in the body and understand that what's going on with me, that biochemical reaction, and to know that I need connection with grace. Grace with that power, because if I don't have that connection with grace, I'm going to go to that mental obsession. That grace keeps me away from that mental obsession that leads me to the food. So I am so grateful that this program gives me a solution and a spiritual way of life. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all for reminding me of it so much. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Deborah G. And now we'll have Mo H. followed by Shelley B. And good morning, Mo. If you could share with people where you're calling from.
Sure. Yeah, this is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Walnut Creek, California. Okay, so what I was thinking of when I listened to others share and read this paragraph was my beginnings in OA in the late 80s and early 90s, and when I read through the steps, I said to myself, well, I have step two and three taken care of because I was a devout person in my religion and had been raised that way, and I continued to be that way. So I could skip over them and come to find out that with all my slips and relapses and, you know, not really getting the program at a deep level, I needed to go back and really look at that. And there is a difference between religion and spirituality, as people had talked about. And, you know, I prayed and all of that kind of stuff, but nothing seemed to ever happen when I prayed and asked. But when I started looking at it as this loving, kind, and gentle higher power, that when I turned to that creative intelligence, whatever we want to call that higher being, when I turned and started walking, that higher power ran toward me. And I heard that on the line, and that really made sense to me. So I had some anger issues around the births of my children and their physical challenges. And, you know, I really dealt with God in a really harsh way. But with the program, it really helped me to turn around and see the joy and the good that can come when I connect. And I heard it once said, you know, lean into God. So I lean in, and this morning my granddaughter is undergoing a pretty difficult surgery, and I'm leaning into God. I gave her to God. I gave her and her medical team to God, and all I can do is be here with prayers and support her. And just this last sentence, if there was a devil, he seemed the boss of the universe. He certainly had me, and I can say that's so true for me in the last binge I had about 5 years ago. He had me good, and I could not stop, and I knew what I was doing because I had been in the rooms for so long. So I surrendered I just surrendered completely and gave my will and my life over to God, and I do that every day, every morning when I wake up and throughout the day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Mo H. Now we'll have Shelley B. followed by Amy N. Good morning, Shelley. If you could share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Shelley B. I'm from Palmdale, California. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. This brings me back to my roots, my religion, where I was brought up, seeing all the negative things. The church I went to as a kid, I was scared to death, just afraid to make a mistake. And the same thing I saw at home with my parents being very religious, quote, but not having it in the home, a lot of abuse, et cetera. So that was conflicting for me. And in my 20s, I was kind of angry at my parents. Went through that whole anger with my parents thing. But I eventually, as I got older, I made peace with them. And I thought everything was good. I'm a restrictor. I would go down. I would go up. I would go down. And then I had a really bad crisis in my life. And I knew that there had to be some kind of God, that I couldn't do what I was going through by myself. And I clung on until I got through that crisis. And then other things would happen, and my emotions would take over. I'd gain weight. And I'd use food instead of emotions. And I didn't think I had a problem with my weight. I thought most people did this, or the people that were thin, they just were made that way, and they had something else. They didn't have to. They could eat whatever they wanted and still be thin. That's what I thought. And I went through a Great Depression, was hospitalized, and I hit 200 pounds at 4'11". And that was hard. And I thought, again, it's just me now. It's the way I'm supposed to be. But this program, and my therapist encouraged me to go to this program. And this program keeps me close to God every day in every aspect of my life. I never thought I needed God in food. You know, I was provided for, and I always had food to eat. But when I gave my food to God, everything changed. It was like being in a dark room where the light came on. And God gave me many things. And I said to myself, what made me think that he couldn't take care of my eating too? And I thought, well, it's just taking care of my eating in a way. You know, this is what I came for. But it's really changed my life a lot. This program, this room, this vision for you and all wonderful fellows are just helping me every day, grow every day and go through those steps. And I'm very appreciative and I thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley B. Now we'll have Amy N. followed by Raquel E. Amy, good morning. Please share with us where you're calling from.
Thank you so much. I'm Amy N., recovered compulsive eater in Cleveland, Ohio. I am really grateful to be on the line today. The thing that stands out to me, or that I guess made me think of, was the difference between freedom and bondage. I had grown up in a very religious household and took that on myself, and it always felt like bondage to me. Like, it never felt like freedom, and I always had this sense in the back of my mind, like, this isn't what some other people that I see experience. Like, they look like they're free, not like they are in bondage to these ideas. And of course, I realized later I was really in bondage to myself, because it was not about somebody or something else. It was all about me. And I was trying to control everything. And then I started getting really angry at religion, and I was in bondage to my resentments towards people in religion that I thought weren't acting the way they should. and couldn't see the entire time that I myself was doing the exact same thing. And the difference for me today, when I came into program, I was so tired of being tired and so miserable and in such bondage to the food and to myself and my mind and the weight and just everything that I realized, not that I realized, that I was beat into a state of being open. And I was told when I came into the room that I didn't need to have everything figured out, that it was okay just to be open, and let a power greater than me show me who that power was. And that completely changed my life. And and so program to me today is freedom. The more that I work my program and the more that I give my will and my life over to my higher power, the more happy, joyous, and free I am. And it's so crazy because it's opposite of everything that I had always kind of learned, that I had to do it myself. And it's a really amazing thing, and I'm really grateful to remind you of that today. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy N. And now we'll have Raquel E. from Israel share with us. Good morning, Raquel.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, moderator, and thank you all my family that are online. You know, I keep on coming back to you every day, to my program, to my people who understand what it's all about. It's a little bit like when my cat leaves the house. I have an indoor-outdoor cat, and I leave the door a little bit open, and I say to her, you know, honey, it's your home. You can come back anytime you want, because she hesitates sometimes. Well, I don't hesitate. I jump in. If I cannot do it at 2 o'clock here, 7 o'clock in New York, or I'm with you guys now. This paragraph contains the main issue of why it is so difficult for us to straight believe in God without any questions, because if there is somebody already built this formula for me. He said that there are only this one question. If there is a God and he's as benevolent as I want him to be and I want him to be my God, then why is there so much bad in the world, so much evil? And if, God forbid, there isn't, then how do I explain all the beauty and all the good? If I can't, this is only the one question. If he is, then why is there evil? But if he isn't, then how do I explain all the rest? How do I explain it that I survived the Holocaust? How do I explain it that I gained and lost 30 kilos? That's about 70 pounds at least, 10 times in my life. And that when I found NA and then Vision for You, I don't have a drug problem. Food is my drug. But I finally understood that it's life or death. But here, why is there so much evil? Where mostly we are the ones who create most of this evil. But when he says, here that if there was a devil, he seemed to be boss universal. Yes, there is evil that God gave it power because he wants us to be people who have a choice. Angels don't have that problem. When, you know, they're all good. God created us that way, that we have to struggle to become who he really meant us to become. And he gave that devil certain powers. And he has it with the tendency for self-destruction. And also he gave us the power to conquer that. Otherwise, how do I explain that right now there are 8,600 some people online from the whole world helping each other with this? How gorgeous this is. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yesterday somebody came to me for help who I don't know, who somebody through somebody else sent because she just got married and in 1 month she gained 20 pounds. I'll wrap up. And God sent her to me so I can help her. It's unbelievable. and all of you. I'm here and all of you there, and we're holding hands around the world with this. So there is good, tremendous good. And yes, the self-destruction is there, but we have the choice. That's the incredible thing that this program gave us, that choice, that people don't have to be locked up in asylums, that we can become other and become what who God wanted us and meant us to be. Thank you so much for being there, I guess.
Well, thank you, Raquel, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. You certainly made this meeting very, very meaningful. Really appreciate it. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa B., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Yes, my name is Lisa B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.